Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and shalom. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, the first thing that goes through my mind as I look at this text is J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament. It's a paraphrase. It's one that I took along when I went away to college. And probably more than any other text, I have turned to read Romans 8 to hear the goodness of salvation. Again and again, reading this text and meditating on it, the Spirit of God has settled my heart. The book of Romans, as I have shared at various times, and as I have studied over the years, comes out to me as words that are written primarily to Jewish Christians in Rome. Jewish Christians in Rome who had been believers in God their whole life. And the way that they expressed their belief in God was to look at the books of Moses, to read about everything that God had done and that God expected them to do. And they sought to live according to that. Paul doesn't know these people through being a missionary to them. He does know quite a few of them. We're never told exactly how. Chapter 16, he says hello to everybody and his uncle that he can. But as he is writing, the undercurrent of what's going on is that Paul knows that there are Christians in Rome who didn't grow up Jewish. There are Jewish Christians, and there are Gentile Christians, Roman citizen Christians, and there are little house churches. A book I read some years ago talked about the fact that there may have been about 20 or so house churches. People would gather in somebody's living room or their little backyard, and there wasn't an actual sanctuary like what we have for the first 200 years of the church's history in Rome. And so there are some Christians gathering in one place who are thinking we're better than they are. Other texts would tell us that some of them said, well, we have David as our great king. We have Moses, the great lawgiver. We have Abraham as our father. And so we are circumcised like Abraham was. We're better. And we really don't think we're sinners. Jesus kind of helps us along to obey God's law. And that's nice to have him help us. But basically, we've been living good, honorable lives. We don't really need him to be everything for us. And if you know the book of Romans, you know that just before chapter 8 comes chapter 7. Whew, that wasn't too hard. But the end of chapter 7 is where Paul says, the good that I would, I can't do. The evil that I don't want to do is what I keep on doing. And people have struggled for centuries to find out what Paul means by this. As I read that text in the story of the gospel, Paul says, you are looking at other Christians and saying, they're not as holy as I am. They're not as up and coming as I am. They're not as faithful as I am or as we are. And Paul says, as I live out my Christian life, I recognize that I too am driven in my old sinful nature to go against God. That I too, even though I've seen Jesus face to face, still struggle in my life. So if you are going to go and judge other people on the basis of their performance, then you'll always have some evidence that they don't measure up. But already back in chapter 2, Paul said to the Jewish Christians, just remember that as you're pointing at others, you yourself stand condemned as well, because you also are not at peace with God by what you do. The works of the flesh, the works of the Spirit. And thus, Paul helps us to understand that in our hearts, we have two drives. What Paul talks about here in Romans 8 says, don't be surprised if, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, that the same desires lurk within your heart. The desires to do, as we talked about last week, the works of darkness. The things that do not and ought not come out and be seen, but yet the things that are there. And if we really take all the masks off and stand before our God, we recognize that in terms of what we have done in the past and what we do in the present, same kind of things keep coming back into our hearts. And we're ashamed of them. And we don't want them to be there, but they're there. We ask God, why? I want to live for you. Paul says it's because even as Christians, we have not yet been delivered from the flesh, which means the old sinful nature. I remember finding a little pamphlet when I was pastor in Michigan down in one of the cupboards. And I don't know how long it had been in the church, but the title of it was something like Four Spiritual Rules. And before I opened it up, I was very much against what I had seen there. Four Spiritual Rules. Because I expected it was going to be four laws of what you're supposed to do for Jesus. But I opened it up and I was pleasantly surprised. Because the four spiritual rules had nothing to do with what I was supposed to do for him, but what he had done for me. It's when it helped me to conceptualize the difference between a speed limit law and a law of nature. And the reason why this text here is so good and so uplifting and wonderful is because it says, what is your nature? What is your nature now that you are in the Spirit of God? We Christians continue to say it's easier to sin than it is to live a Christian life. Not if Romans 8 is correct. It is easier to live a Christian life. It is easier because that's the life empowered by the Spirit. And among the wonderful texts that we get from Paul's letters, another one of those that is just so wonderful here is the text that says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus after he died and brought him forth from the grave, the same Spirit that he had yielded up on Good Friday when he took all of our sins, that same Spirit is in you and me now. And so Paul says, don't get caught up in the laws of Moses, in your performance, Jewish Christians, and in the process, shove away those who don't know every last one of the 613 rules and laws, and find fault with them because they're not as tuned in as you are. But rather see the same Spirit that's in them is in you, and that's in you is in them, and it's the same Spirit that brought Jesus from the grave, and so the power in your lives, and now for us today, the power in your heart, the power in my heart, is the power of the Spirit who has given us peace in Christ, delivered us from the drive to have to sin against God, and makes being his sons and daughters a joy. When we read what God has made us to be, we need not fear or wonder and say, I don't know if I'm doing that. What if I'm not doing it enough? The word enough can be thrown in the basket on the way out and never used again. God doesn't judge us by whether we've done enough. He judges us by the fact that the Spirit has opened our heart to be Christian, moves us as we hear the gospel to act as his Christians, settles us down and gives us that shalom, and says, now go live your life. Recognize what the works of the flesh are. The selfishness, the greed, the hatred, the being done with other people, and bring that to me and say, Lord, take the power of that old fleshly nature away. So being in the Spirit doesn't mean being like a ghost floating around. It means being a human being like God made us to be. And that first fruit, the first fruits of faith, come out in us. They have and they will. God is at work in us, giving us the joy and peace to know we are his forever. And thus, as we look around at others, the old nature might say, I'm going to find fault with them for this or that. Our new nature's desire and drive from the Spirit is, how can I love them and care for them and be more involved in their lives as well? And that's what's going on in all of us. It has and it will. And thus, as we go through a Lenten season, instead of wondering, am I being a Christian? This says, yeah, we are. And the Spirit doesn't drive us anymore. We recognize it, we're ashamed of it, but it doesn't have control. Rather, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead guides and leads us so that as we live our lives and as we reflect on the gospel day after day and week after week, and as we search the scriptures together and Bible classes and in worship and in small group gatherings and in our own devotions, we can listen for that good news that says we're his, and we can go in joy and hope and celebration. And any time we see the barriers coming up between us and others, to say to our Lord, as much as is in me, take the power away. For the spiritual laws, the spiritual nature that we have right now, says we're living out our eternal life already here, welcoming others in the body of believers, looking for the gifts that God has given them and going forth in his name, looking at the gifts we have and saying, Lord, use them for the good of all. And help us to love people whom we don't even know. Help us to love the people that maybe we know too well. And help us even to look in the mirror and love ourselves as you love us. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.